This morning, I want to begin a short series on prayer as the Lord gives direction. I know I've been trying to get through Luke, and as I was going through Luke this past week, one of the things that happened was I absolutely found no peace by staying in Luke. And so as I was reminded back of last week and even the beginning of the service, as I talked about prayer, that's where God brought me this week. And so that's what we're going to look at this week. Sometimes we tend to get uneasy about prayer. The subject of prayer, the matter of prayer, we get uneasy about it. Because I think at times we feel a little bit guilty. Sometimes we feel a little bit ashamed because we feel that, well, maybe my prayer life isn't what it should be. Or, in fact, I know it isn't what it should be. And so there's some guilt that comes along with that. Maybe there's some fear. Maybe we feel that somehow, some way, we are lacking in our prayer life. But I believe that this is a form of misunderstanding. Maybe we've had a little bit of a misunderstanding of what prayer really is, and maybe we just simply have a misunderstanding of who God is in his very character and his very nature. Prayer is not finding favor with God in the sense that we gain points or we gain some kind of favor by the more time we spend with him or the more often we do it, we earn more points, or less if we do less. But God is not going to punish us because we forget to pray today. I forgot to pray this morning. I forgot to pray this afternoon. God is not going to punish us. Or we have this thinking that, oh my goodness, I forgot again. Or I don't have the right words to say. I don't even know how to pray to God. How do you pray to God? I'm so bad at it. So what's the use? Well, God is not going to be out to get you because your prayer life isn't what you think it should be or if it's lacking. He's not going to hate you. He's not going to disown you. He does not punish you based on that. However, that being said, it is robbing you of the blessing of an intimate relationship with God himself. It is robbing you of the intimacy of God. It is our benefit to know God intimately. And we do that through the last time I spoke, the last time I spoke, how do we benefit from that? There's a couple of ways, and they go hand in hand, I believe. Last time I talked, the importance of reading the Word of God. And it is important to read the Word of God. That's how we get to know who God is, his character. But it goes hand in hand with prayer. Prayer is our direct communication line to the one true God, to God Almighty. Worshiping him because of who he is, what he has done for us. Oh, I forgot to warn my wife. But anyways, when my wife and I began to date, she always loves it when I do that and don't warn her. So I'm warning you. Here's a story. But, apologize. But when my wife and I began to date, it didn't take very long. First of all, we saw each other. We began to know each other. And we met at youth group. And so, you know, it was great. We would see each other. And so, my week was consumed with this whole aspect that, oh my goodness, now I got to wait till Friday to see her again. And then the Friday would come and go, and it was so short, and I was so shy. And I barely said hi to her. And it says, like, oh, now I got to wait a week again. And as time went on, I got less nervous and I don't know if I got less nervous, but maybe more bold. So I would begin to talk to her. And as time went on, we eventually did start dating. And so once we started dating, we lived a few towns away. And so once we started dating, we would start talking on the phone. Then I would wait for that day or a time. Well, when should I call? How often is too often? When is too much? And so then I would try and think of the time, but I would wait for that time, and I would anticipate the time that I would get to talk to my girlfriend at the time. And so I could hardly wait. And as time went on, we would talk more and more. And because we wanted to get to know each other. I wanted to hear her voice. I wanted to tell her of what was going on in my life. I wanted to hear what was going on in her life. I wanted to share some of the dreams, some of the things that I came up with, the schemes that I was scheming about during some of my day in school or whatever, high school or whatever it was. And so I would constantly be waiting for that time. And in fact, it got to the point where we would, as we got older, we would talk on a daily basis, and we would spend a lot of time on the phone talking, and our parents would get annoyed with us because we'd tie up the phone. And so, this is back when there was no cell phone, so there was one phone line coming into the house, and so we had to go to the phone line and pick it up. And that's a novel thing for my kids. They don't know what that is, but you didn't have your own cell phone? No. We didn't even have a cordless phone. We had to stand by the phone there and had a long cord and reach around so that our parents wouldn't hear us and that sort of thing. It was a great time. But we would spend so much time on the phone talking about each other. And I longed to talk with her more and more and just to get to know her, to share the hopes, the dreams. I loved just to hear her voice. And so it was a good time to be together as we talked. We spent a lot of time talking. But it was because I liked her. And that like turned to love. And so I wanted to spend more and more time with her. I wanted to know her very intimately, very deeply as we got older. And I still do. I still love to talk with my wife. I still like to hear her voice. I still like to share and hear her share our joys and our struggles that are going on, our dreams, our plans. I believe if we have a biblical view of who God is and understanding of who God is, if we can grasp what he has done for us, how he has pursued us for a relationship throughout history, we will long and desire to be in that type of a relationship that we are consumed with the thought of speaking to him. That I can hardly wait till the next time that I can speak to him. And the good news is, we can speak to him wherever we are at. His very creation in mankind speaks to the value that he places on us as people, creating us with his hands in the likeness and image of himself. To be able to experience love, to be loved, to be able to choose to love, giving us that choice. All of creation speaks to his love. In fact, his very purpose in the beginning was an intimate relationship with God and man. And he still desires that intimate relationship today. Prayer is not an obligation, but a privilege. When you have the right biblical view of who God is, if you have the right biblical understanding of who he is, we will consider it a privilege, not a chore, not a burden, but we will go to him because of the intimacy that is there. Jesus, of course, has given us a blueprint for prayer in Matthew chapter 6. And it's very similar to when we build something. We build something, and it's best to have a blueprint. If you build something, you don't have a blueprint, chances are things are going to go wrong for you, or it'll take several times to get it right, or it won't ever be right. But Jesus gives us a blueprint for prayer. Jesus gave Noah an incredible blueprint to design and build this amazing ship, the first ship ever. Not only did God have the blueprint for it, he came up with the whole idea of a boat. There was no boat before this, but God, in his credible wisdom, came up with the idea that they would need a boat to hold them and keep them dry from the water. Incredible. Then you go through Scripture, and you see how God, in his incredible blueprints, as he built a tabernacle and designed each and everything in that tabernacle, absolutely to the letter, to the T, in perfection, because he is an amazing God and he knows and understands every detail. And in fact, go even further back into creation, his blueprint for this whole universe is absolutely amazing. Turn with me in your Bibles or your devices to Matthew chapter 6, and we'll begin reading Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 to 15. We will only begin this passage of Scripture briefly. We will look into it. We definitely won't get through it today, and that's okay, because God has a lot to teach us in this passage of Scripture. He has a lot to say about prayer. If you as I started to look at Scripture and study the Word, I was just, again, overwhelmed by what God says about prayer. It's an important aspect of our lives. Matthew chapter 6, verse 5. When you pray, you are not to be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and on the street corners so that they may be seen by men. Truly, I say to you, they have their reward in full. But you, when you pray, go into your inner room, close your door, and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you are praying, do not use meaningless repetition as the Gentiles do, for they suppose that they will be heard for their many, many words. So do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask. Pray then in this way: Our Father, who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. For if you forgive others for their transgressions, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, then your Father will not forgive your transgressions. What an awesome thing to consider the privilege of sitting at Jesus' feet, at the feet of Jesus, the great intercessor himself, and hearing him teach us how to pray. What a privilege. What an absolute privilege. Let's just pray and open up the service this morning, or the sermon this morning. Father God, what a privilege to hear you speak from your word. You are the author, and yet you are here with us. You are here with us proclaiming your word this morning. And so, Father God, may your word penetrate our hearts. May you teach us through your word. And as you have given us this blueprint for prayer, may we gain an understanding of what it is to commune with you, to become intimate with you, and to spend time with you. Father, we pray all these things in Jesus' holy name. Amen. There is nothing too great for God's power, and there is nothing too small for his fatherly care. Jesus, in his blueprint for prayer, shows us that it doesn't have to be complicated, it doesn't have to be long, it doesn't have to be a big process. He tells us what it should include, but prior to giving us the blueprint for prayer, he tells us also what it shouldn't be. This is what it shouldn't be. This is what it shouldn't look like. But as Jesus begins in verse 6, he begins this way: When you pray. Prayer is vital for the Christ follower. And he says, when you pray, not if you pray, but when you pray. Because prayer for the believer is our lifeline to God. Jesus states that when you pray, not if you pray. Jesus expects that those who claim to be Christ followers will practice an authentic prayer life. When you pray, because it is of such great benefit and value for the Christ follower to pray, to know the Father, to have an intimate relationship with him. It is vital for growth. It is vital for strength. It is vital for encouragement. It is vital for fellowship, and it is vital for joy and peace. Scripture stresses the importance of prayer. In 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 to 18, he says, rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. This is his will for us. This is his desire for us to pray without ceasing. Don't stop praying. Rejoice always, being thankful, giving thanks in everything. If we have that intimate relationship with him, if we know him so intimately, that's where the joy comes from. That's where the thanksgiving comes from, because we know how our Heavenly Father loves us and values us and cares for us and longs to live in that intimate relationship with him. He is a God who desires to walk in relationship with all of mankind, and it was his desire from the beginning. And even though mankind defied him, he reached out to mankind and gave us a way to be reconciled through his Son, Jesus Christ. As our Heavenly Father, he desires for us to rely on him for all of our needs, to put our absolute faith in him, to put our absolute trust in God Almighty. And as you look through the scriptures, as you look through the Word of God, all the way from front to back, God is a God who keeps his word. God is a covenant-keeping God. He does not go back on his word. He cannot go back on his word. His very character, his very nature, the very person of God cannot lie, cannot go back on his word, can't change his mind. What an awesome God. This is the God that wants that intimate relationship with us. The first church, as we look into Acts, you can see the first church, how the first church exemplified prayer. Acts 1:14 says, "These all with one mind were continually devoting themselves to prayer, along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brothers." So in this day, he's being very specific. They're being very specific. This included all of the women. Women were devalued by the culture, but not by Jesus. That's why it's inclusive. All of mankind were devoted to prayer. In fact, it's interesting to note that Jesus' mother, it mentions her specifically in here. And Mary, the mother of Jesus, who was devoted to prayer? Mary. Didn't she have gain some kind of preferential treatment because she was the mother of Jesus? She was the mother of the Messiah? No, absolutely not. Why? Because she was born into sin as all of us are. She, the mother of Jesus, and his brothers devoted themselves to prayer. Do you understand the importance of prayer? Acts 2:42 says, they were continually devoting themselves, again, continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and prayer. What is in there again? The teaching, the word of God. They devoted themselves to knowing who God was through his word, through the teaching, and then through prayer to intimately speak with God. Acts 6 verse 4 says, again, but we will devote ourselves to prayer and to what? The ministry of the word. Powerful. The early church exemplified what it is to be a church, what it is to have a meaningful prayer life. Devoted to prayer. Devoted means that there's a loving relationship, that you're loyal. Devoted, but not out of obligation. It's a devotion out of love. That's why defined, I love the definition, means very loving or loyal. That's how devoted they were. It was a loving relationship. But in the scripture, it talks about the whole aspect of, go in private and don't pray out loud and don't see yourself. But the posture and place is really irrelevant if the motive of the heart is to please God. Let's not understand what Jesus is saying. The problem is not praying in public or whether or not we're standing or we're sitting. That's not what Jesus is saying. Jesus prayed in public throughout his ministry. When he was healing people, he was praying in public. When he gave thanks for the 5 loaves and 2 fish. When he raised Lazarus from the dead. The problem isn't praying in public. It's praying in public with the motive to be noticed, to be seen, and to show yourselves to others as righteous. You want them to see your righteousness because I'm out on the street corner and I'm praying using repetition and endless words because I want to be seen. Look at me. Look at how I pray. That's the wrong motive. It's what he's saying. Seeking to be righteous when you're unrighteous. He calls this the hypocrite. And the hypocrite is motivated by pride, the desire to be above others, but really has no room for God because it's all about me. It's all about self. He appears to serve God, but he's really serving himself. This is hypocritical. Our word hypocrite comes from a Greek term that referred to an actor who changed roles by changing masks. They're putting on a different face, really, in a sense. In its biblical application, it's pretending to be someone in public that you're not in private. Something totally different than you are in public than that you are in private. But Jesus' followers are to be moved instead by love for God, not love for self. So let's look at a couple of characteristics of Jesus' prayer. Jesus modeled prayer. In fact, the Bible has so much to say about prayer. What an amazing time in the Word of God. Jesus taught about prayer. Jesus modeled prayer while he was on earth. Luke 5, verse 16 says, but Jesus himself would often slip away to the wilderness and pray. Matthew 14, 23 says, after he had sent the crowds away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray, and when it was evening, he was there alone. This really spoke to me in an incredible way this week. After he was done preaching, and he would preach for long days, he would spend long time praying. And what did he do? He went off by himself to pray. Well, do you want to know what I do? I am tired. I am exhausted. And I want to rest. I want some Metaschlope. I want a nap. But Jesus, what does he do? His example is he went off and prayed. Man, did that speak to me powerfully this week. Jesus, in his humility, spent time with God in prayer. After he'd been preaching and teaching and healing people, meeting the needs of the people, he went and he prayed. Don't forget that, yes, Jesus was man and deity. And so in his humanity, he got tired. But he understood the need to pray to his heavenly Father, to be in intimate prayer with him. In Luke 6:12, it says, he went off to the mountains to pray, and he spent the whole night in prayer to God. Luke 9:20, it says, he took along Peter and John, James, and went up to the mountain to pray. Jesus modeled prayer. Jesus prayed often. He prayed alone. He prayed with his disciples. He prayed for healing. He went to the mountains to pray. He went to the wilderness to pray. He prayed in public. He prayed for the people. Jesus modeled prayer. Jesus also, in his prayers, prayed prayers of thanksgiving to his Father. Showed how he prayed. Exemplified the blueprint that he's giving us in Matthew chapter 6. He's exemplifying that in how he prayed. In Matthew 11, 25 to 26 says, at that time, Jesus said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth. He worshiped his heavenly Father. In Matthew 15, 36 says, and he took the 7 loaves and the fish, and giving thanks, he broke it and then started giving it to the disciples, and the disciples gave it to the people. John 11, 41, 42 says, so they removed the stone. Then Jesus raised his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you heard me. Father, thank you that you heard me. Then he says, I knew that you always hear, but because of the people standing around, I said it so that they may believe as well that you sent me. Powerful. He prayed to show that this wasn't just a magic illusion, that this wasn't some trickery, but that it was God himself who was healing through Jesus. God had sent him. And then his prayers reflect the communion with his Father. Matthew 11, 27 says, all things have been entrusted and delivered to me by my Father, and no one fully knows and accurately understands the Son except the Father. And no one fully knows and accurately understands the Father except the Son. Anyone to whom the Son deliberately wills to make known. The emphasis is on the privileged status of the one who has received from God all that which is at his disposal. God has entrusted him as son and heir and has handed him the inheritance. And it is this intimacy of relationship, it is this type of communion which lies at the basis of this handing over. And then there's submission to the Father. In John 6:38, it says, "For I have come down." This is Jesus in his humanity, submitting to his heavenly Father. "For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me." Matthew 26:39 says, "And he went a little beyond them and fell on his face and prayed, saying, 'My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Yet not as I will, but as you will.'" Jesus was submitting to his heavenly Father in his humility. He was coming in absolute humility, submitting to his heavenly Father. What an example as we come to him on our knees in prayer and submit to his will. And we'll look at it further in weeks to come. "Not my will, but yours be done." Matthew 26:36-46 says, "Then Jesus came with them to a place," and sorry, then this is speaking of Jesus pouring out his heart in his hour of need. Matthew 26:36-46 says, "Then Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane and said to his disciples, 'Sit here while I go over there and pray.' And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee and began to be grieved and distressed. Then he said to them, 'My soul is deeply grieved to the point of death. Remain here and keep watch with me.' And he went a little beyond them and he fell on his face and he prayed, saying, 'My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Yet not as I will, but as you will.' And he came to the disciples and he found them sleeping again. And he said to Peter, 'So you men couldn't keep watch with me for 1 hour. Keep watching and praying that you might not enter into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak.' And he went away again a second time praying and said, 'My Father, if this cannot pass away unless I drink it, your will be done.' Again, he found them sleeping, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them again and went away and prayed a third time, saying the same thing once more. Then he came to the disciples and said to them, 'Are you still sleeping and resting? Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of sinners. Get up, let us get going. The one who betrays me is at hand.'" Jesus experienced tremendous grief, tremendous weight, and it brought him to his knees. And I know that there are people in this church, in this congregation, who are experiencing tremendous grief. And Jesus exemplified that by where he went. He poured out his heart to God, his Father, because he trusted God, his Father, to hear him. And to answer his prayer. You can feel the absolute strain on Jesus when you think about this account. He was grieved to the point of death. He was experiencing a difficult thing. And where did he go? He went to his Father. Jesus understood the magnitude of the wrath that was going to be poured on him from the Father, and it drove him to his knees. Man, I tell you, we go through things in our lives, and it is my prayer that we don't turn to anything in this world, but that we turn to him in prayer. Jesus modeled it. Jesus exemplified it. The early church modeled it. The early church exemplified it. And so too, if you want to walk in victory, walk in intimacy with God. He wants that relationship with you. He wants us to come to him and pour our hearts out to him when we are grieved, when we are hurting, when we are suffering. But he also wants to hear when we're rejoicing because of the blessing that he has poured out on us. Oh, we are rich because of what God has done for us. Let's close in a word of prayer this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have provided a way for us to open that relationship again, that relationship that was severed, that relationship that was absolutely gone by man's sin. You pursued that relationship through your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you for that. Thank you that in your word we are taught that we need to come to you in prayer, and you will hear us and you will answer us. You modeled it, Jesus. You modeled it for us. And God, I pray that we would look at this model and it would become part of our lives. It would become something that we pursue, that we long to do, long to be with you, that we thirst for communion with you, that we are hungry to talk with you, to speak with you, to hear from you, to share with you what's going on in our lives. God, create that hunger in us. Create that thirst in us, oh Father. God, we thank you for the privilege. We thank you for Jesus, who is our great intercessor. God, we thank you for your word. We pray these things in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Mm-hmm.